All right, if you got your Bibles, if you will turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse of Scripture today, verse 15. Very good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. You guys can turn the lights up. I don't want anybody going to sleep on me this morning. Don't want to make it any more conducive than what it might already be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. How many of you are familiar or have heard of the name Randy Coy? Anybody ever heard of that name before? She's a famous individual. I'm about to tell you why. No takers. Nobody knows Randy. Poor Randy. Well, Randy, you may not know her by her first name or even by her last name, but I bet when I tell you about her, you'll say, oh, that's that girl. A couple of years ago, Fox did a series, a reality show series, on My Big, Fat, Obnoxious Fiancé. Any takers now? Anybody ever crossed the channel? Of course you didn't stay on there, I'm sure. Anybody crossed the channel? Okay, I got a few bold ones. Yes, yes. Those are the two honest or three honest ones in the crowd. My Big, Fat, Obnoxious Fiancé. Well, what the whole premise of the show was, is they got this girl, Randy, and they convinced her to dupe her family. The whole idea was, if you can get your family to believe you've actually fallen in love with this, and this guy, he was a bozo in every sense of the word. I mean, he was big, rather large. He was obnoxious as all get out. I mean, the guy didn't have no manners. He was just a slob. And she was a pretty, kind of upstanding girl. And she had to convince her family that she had really fallen head over heels in love with this guy and wanted to marry him. Well, so she said, well, how much are you going to pay? And they said, well, we'll give you $250,000. $250,000 if you can convince your parents that you actually have done this. And the test to it will be, when the preacher says at your wedding, does anybody object to the union of these two? Nobody in your family can say anything. So the whole season was all these behind-the-scenes, you know, talks and, you know, trying to persuade, Randy, what are you thinking? He's big, he's fat, he's obnoxious, you can't do this to our family. And she's over there giving him the line, I love him, we were made for each other, trust me on this. And in the back of her mind, she says, I will show you the money if you will just get through it. Well, it got to the season finale. Season finale, there's the wedding, the family is just torn to pieces. They are upset. They can't believe who's about to be invited in their family. And the preacher asked the question of all questions that day, is there anybody who objects to the wedding or the marriage union of these two? And then the tables turned. The big, fat, obnoxious fiancé wasn't just some average guy. He wasn't just some bozo out there that randomly was picked. He was paid also by Fox. He was an actor, and it was his job to be obnoxious. It was his job to belch when he shouldn't belch and pass other gas when he shouldn't pass it. It was his job to try to do everything he could to make her life as miserable and especially the life of their family as miserable as possible. When Randy found out that she was not just the one deceiving, but when she found out she was the one deceived, she lost it. She lost it to such an extent. Now, y'all remember this? America felt sorry for poor Randy. And it's a reality show. I mean, it's you're sport to us, you know. But we all felt sorry for her. Not only did we feel sorry for her, Fox felt sorry for her. For the $250,000 that she was supposed to receive, they upped the ante. They gave her $500,000. I guess to pay for counseling and to give to their family for group therapy, I guess. But They felt, what have we done to this family? Well, again, you may not know Randy Coy, but you can certainly relate. You say, well, relate? I'd never do that to my family. I'd never embarrass my family. I'd never deceive my family like that and put them up to American shame where they're now the sermon illustration in the town of Lebanon, Missouri. I would never do that to my family. However, you and I, we're more like Randy than what we know. They said, well, how can that be? When you and I buy into the thought, when you and I allow ourselves to be deceived, when we buy into the thought that life is about us, you're far worse than a Randy Coy. When you buy into the thought, hey, life's about me. This universe, this is my world. This is my life. This is my world. This is my story. I'm the center of the universe. I'm the captain of my own sea. When you buy into that thought, that erroneous thought, you find yourself deceived. See, this thing we call life, ladies and gentlemen, it ain't about you. A few months ago, I hear this church, y'all did 40 Days of Purpose. It's a book, Rick Warren. It was on the number one Times bestseller list for a long time, The Purpose-Driven Life. How many of you read The Purpose-Driven Life? Would you raise your hand? Okay, a lot of you out there, okay? Y'all remember the first sentence of the first chapter, the very beginning of the book? Anybody remember what it said? Here's what it says. I'll never forget it. It says, life is not about you. And the whole book, the whole premise, everything revolved around that thought. Life is not about you. There's something freeing in that. It actually feels good to say that. Why don't you say it with me? Life is not about... Okay, you're not feeling it yet, okay? Work with me here one more time. Life is not... Yeah, life ain't about you. Life is not about you. But the deception of all deceptions is to think. For you to think, for me to think, this is my life. This is my story. This is my world. Oh, how sad it is, you and I, deceived to think such a thought. You say, well, you know what? I really never looked at life not being about me. Well, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says it this way. The Bible says you were created by God and you were created for God. Okay, the reason why you exist is because of God. He loved you. He created you. He wants you for His own. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, all these things were created by God, and for His pleasure they exist. Did you get that? For the pleasure of God, here you are. That means the reason why you're breathing the breath of life right now is the pleasure of God. The reason why your alarm clock woke you up this morning is the pleasure of God. The reason why you will have any future is for the pleasure of God. You say, man, he must think a lot about himself for it all to be about his pleasure. Welcome to the thought. It's the story of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's not yours. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. So that means before you were ever a twinkle in your mom and daddy's eye, guess what? It's his story. His story was long before yours ever started. And before your family tree was ever a twig, still his story. When you were forgotten, put into the grave, when you were buried and your ancestors forget to put you back into the family tree, guess what? It will still be his story. It is all about God. It is not about us. He said, well, convince me of that, preacher. Okay, since you asked. Take your Bibles, go to the very beginning in the book of Genesis. You say, I don't really know where Genesis is. If you go to the table of contents, flip over a couple of pages, you will find Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, there's the creation story. You say, well, this is the beginning of the story of God. No, this is the beginning of the creation story. The story of God took place a long time before then. You say, well, when? We don't know, but this could be like the 7,949th chapter in the story of God. We just don't know, but this is the creation or the beginning of the creation story. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says here that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says what he did each day. You know, the first day he did this, the second day he did this. First day, the Bible says, he separated the light from the darkness. You say, that's all God did? First day, just separate the light from the darkness? That's a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. When's the last time you've separated the light from the darkness? You ever done that? Of course not. Only God can do that. So the second day, the Bible says, he separated the atmosphere from the waters. You say, that's all God did? Separate the atmosphere from the waters? Have you ever done that? Of course not. Third day, he created vegetation. Next day, he created fish and wildlife and all the things that go along the ground. On the sixth day, he did his greatest creation, his most magnificent creation. He created man. His name was Adam. Remember the story how it goes? He made Adam from the dust of the ground. And the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam woke up and Adam was a living being. Can you imagine that wake-up call? First time you ever wake up, there you are. You're looking at God. He's breathing into your nostrils. Woo, that's a wake-up call. And then the story goes on and puts Adam back to sleep. Remember, he said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. You know, it creates Eve. And so he puts him to sleep, wakes him up again. First thing Adam sees now, not God, but Eve in all her glory. Adam's thinking to himself, I can get used to this waking up thing. This is good. First time I'm waking up, God's breathing in my nostrils. Second time I'm waking up, and there's a 10, man. She's looking fine. Naked. It's good. Now let's pretend here. Let's just say, here's a scene there in the garden. They're talking, and Adam says, Eve, look at all this. This is great, man. This is awesome. He looks over at this tree. Can you see a tree like this? This is great. Look at this tree. Woo! That's a good-looking tree. And Eve over here, she's smelling the flowers. She says, oh, smell these, Adam. These are wonderful. And Adam says, you hear those birds? They're flapping their wings. You hear those birds? They're singing our song, Eve. That's our song. They're singing that for us. And he says, oh, God, you're so good. You're so kind. You did all this just for us. God says, no. No. I didn't do this for you. Adam says, you didn't do this for us. Well, if you didn't do it for us, who'd you do it for then, God? God says, I did it for me. Wait a minute, God, we're the only ones here. You mean you did this all for yourself? God says, yeah. It's all for me. All these things I've created, and for my pleasure, they exist. The Bible says over there in the book of Psalms, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Remember the verse? We sung it like in a little Bible school. The trees of the field, what do? They clap their hands, and the mountains, they break forth in praise. Praise to who? Praise to Adam. Praise to Eve. No! They ain't praising Adam. They ain't praising Eve. Who are they praising? They're praising God. It's about God. They're praising their Creator. It's about God. It's the story of God. Always has been, always will be. With or without your participation, it's always the story of God. Then Genesis chapter 3 rolls around. Remember what happens there? A serpent, conniving, creeps on in. He says there to Eve, he says, Eve, did God really say? Eve said, yeah, that's what he said. He said, that's not true. Eve, I tell you what. You eat of this tree, you can be the star in your own story. You don't have to be a part of his story. You don't have to play some subpar role in somebody else's story. Eve, if you eat of this tree, you could be the star in your own show. Adam, you could be the main attraction. It could be all about you. And guess what? They tragically bought into it. So you know what? To be like God, to have my own story, to be the main attraction, that sounds good. So there they ate. There where they were deceived. For the soul that sins shall die. So, you and I, we're worse than a Randy Coy. And it doesn't take a preacher up here to tell you that we're a whole lot like Adam and Eve. We want to be our own star. We want to be the main attraction. And yet the truth of the matter is, all of our stories, however great they might be, they're kind of puny in comparison to the great, grand story of God. Well, they bought into the lie. You and I buy into it. And yet God loves us so much, He still made a way. Say, well, how did God make a way? See, in the garden, ladies and gentlemen, something was broken. All right? When they ate of that tree, they said, I want to be the star of my own show. I want to be it. I want to be the main attraction. When they ate, they were deceived. Sin entered into the world. Something broke inside of man, thus passed on through us today. Something's broken on the inside. But at Calvary, ladies and gentlemen, something was fixed. You hear me? When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and 3 days later He got up from the grave, something was fixed. And He provides you and I the opportunity not only to be forgiven of our sins, not only the opportunity to be made whole again, He invites us to trade in our puny, miserable, meaningless existence in comparison stories to be a part of His story. Not a main attraction, just a part of His story. You say, I don't know about that. I kind of like the way I'm living. I kind of like my story. I think I'm doing pretty good for myself. Just know this. Your story will soon be forgotten. It really will. My dad, he told me one time, he said, son, 100 years from now, nobody will remember your name. I thought to myself, what? I started thinking about it. 100 years from now, nobody's going to remember my name. I started thinking, you know, you're right. My granddad, his name's Furman Press Taylor. I was the youngest of the grandchildren that time. I'm the youngest in the family. After I die, no one will remember the name Furman Press Taylor. Be forgotten. No matter what your achievements were, no matter how great your accomplishments, the average person 100 years from now, nobody will remember your name. Right now, there are 6 billion people on planet Earth. 6 billion people. That is billion with a B. 99.9999999% of those people have no clue who Matt Taylor is. 100 years from now, mark it down, 100%. Nobody will know me. Nobody's going to know you. So how deceived we are in thinking, this is my life. This is my story. This is about me. 100 years from now, it'll be somebody else talking about their story, that even that will soon be forgotten. I think I've got a pretty good story. As a matter of fact, I'm grateful for the life that God has given me. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. If you were to go with me on vacation to Charleston, I'd show you some. As a good host, I'd show you some of the attractions of Charleston. I grew up in this little community called James Island, right next to the beach. I grew up with sand between my toes, and it's a good place to live. I got some great memories. I'd take you, if you were with me, I'd take you to a small duplex, 705-B Marlin Lane. There's a ugly duplex with some even uglier green carpet inside that house. And I'd take you back and say, you know what? That's where I grew up. That house is where I grew up. Right next was some woods, and I'd tell you, hey, this is where I learned to stick up for myself. This is where I stood up to that bully, and I showed him that he couldn't pick on me anymore. This is where my dad and I, we built our first fort. Hey, over here, this is where I buried my dog, and because you're nice, you won't be my friend. You say, that's good. You kind of feel a little weird about it, but you say, you know, that's good, Matt, sure. And I say, this is where I grew up. And I take you to my next house, and I take you and I show you a shed where my dad and I and my papaw, we built, still standing today. As a matter of fact, before I came here to be your pastor, you're going to think I'm even weirder now, but I went back to 1041 Woodside Drive, knocked on the door. I said, hey, my name's Matt. Little boy, I used to live here. Can I come in? Now, don't look at me weird. Some of you have wanted to do the very same thing, have you not? Okay, maybe not. But anyways, I did. It's special to me. It's my story. Or so I think. I take you to my high school. You certainly wouldn't leave Charleston without me taking you to 1000 Fort Johnson Road. James Island, we were the Trojans. We were the pride of our town, man. They put the signs up on all over, go Trojans, player of the week, you know, go Trojans. It was a big deal, high school football in my town. I'll tell you this, since we're being vulnerable and transparent, at least one of us is, I will go today. I never go home. I never go visit mom and dad, whether I'm there just to preach or go see them. I never go to James Island without doing one thing. I will always go back to the stadium. And I take you to the stadium. I say, right here, this is where we got it on. This is where it took place. And I tell you stories, and they always get better as you tell them, don't they? I tell you what happened. I tell you when it happened. I tell you about trophies and awards and all that. Every time I go, I always do the same thing. I don't care who's watching. I don't care what they're thinking. I always do the same thing. I get down, and I smell the grass. Woo-wee! There's something about the smell of the stadium grass. I'd probably invite you down there. Hey, come here and smell this. Tell me what you think about that. That's a good thing, man. That's my story. That's part of my life. I'm passionate about it. And after my kids die, and nobody gonna know about that story anymore. It'll just be forgotten. It'll go away. And somebody else be talking about some other little insignificant, puny, small story. You may not be able to relate to that, but guys, I bet you'll relate to this. The name Jim Brown, you never saw him play, nor did I. But for the longest time, he held the rushing record. He was it. He was the standard as far as yards rushing. People said at that time, ain't nobody ever played the game like Jim Brown. Then there came along this guy named Walter Payton. I remember Walter Payton? Yeah. They called him Sweetness. I don't know if it was because of the way he ran or the way he talked. But Sweetness, he was something else. And year after year, he got closer and got closer and got closer. Came to the year, they said, this is probably going to be the year Walter Payton's going to break Jim Brown's record. I remember sitting in front of my TV. I remember where I was. I remember the day. And I remember he was 7 yards short. Took the pitch to the outside, to the left. Broke a tackle, made the first down. They tackled him. 8-yard gain. Listen, he broke the record. They stopped. Everybody stopped. The people, the crowd, they just cheered. They took off their helmets, the football players, and they cheered. He broke Jim Brown's record. The record, they say, would never be broken. Walter Payton, the greatest rusher of all time. Number one. How's the story? But life keeps going. And other stories go on. And there came a guy along the scene. His name was Emmett Smith. And Emmett Smith, he was gaining, and he eventually broke Walter Payton's record. By the way, only because Barry Sanders retired early. But he eventually broke Sweetness's record. Up the middle. Straight up the middle. Gained the yards. Now he is the number one rusher of all time. Where Jim Brown was the top of his game one time, held the record, his story was up here. Then with Walter Payton, it became here. Walter Payton, his story was up here, but because of Emmett Smith, now his story is just one among many. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the way life is. That's the way the world operates. Your story might be bigger than mine, might be bigger than yours, but in comparison to God, all of our stories, small, puny, minuscule, will one day be forgotten and not remembered by anybody. So isn't it grace? Isn't it grace that God says, you know what? I don't want you to live an insignificant life. I don't want you to settle for the applause of the crowd and the world and your family today only to be forgotten tomorrow. I don't want that to be the goal of your life. I want to invite you into my story. You see, this is my world. This is my house. And I want you to be a part of history, which is His story. That's grace, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, we're going to be starting a series on grace. Grace anatomy. And that's part of grace. That God not only would seek to save you from your sin, He would seek to save you from a puny, small existence. So you say, well, what part am I going to play in this story? Who cares? Just be glad you're invited into the story. Don't you think? Who cares what part you're going to play? People play all kinds of different parts. I'm just grateful to be a part of the story. I'm telling you what, whether I participate in the story or not, the story of God goes on. Right now, even as I'm preaching, I'm telling you, there's a story. The story of God continues to go on. I've got some brothers in Africa right now of the Turkana people. That's their people group. They are so poor. I asked that one of my translators, I said, what can I pray for you about when I was leaving? He said, pray that I have enough food and water every day. And I'll get you. That's not the normal prayer request you're used to hearing. He said, just pray I have enough food and water every day. They don't have anything. But right now, as we're here enjoying this nice room and this air conditioner, right now, those Africans, they're around an adobe hut. And all they got is one drum and a lot of rhythm. And a lot of it. I mean, they got rhythm over there. And they're singing a song. They're singing about the greatness and the grandeur of God. And I'm telling you, in Africa, in Kenya, through the Turkana people, and the story of God, it goes on. Right now in the Congo, in a language I don't understand and you don't either, they're singing a new song. You know what's happening? The story of God is going on. Right now in China, the church is so persecuted in China, they can't meet openly. There are some of those Christians, they are underground around a candle. They are singing, they are worshiping God, they are reading the Bible, they are praising the Lord. You know what's happening? The story of God is going on. Right now in Sudan, the genocide that's taking place, there are Christians being martyred every single day. Even as I speak, there's probably one about to assume the position. And before his executioner takes his life, I'm telling you, they love God. He might raise his hand and he might worship his last breath. You know what's happening? The story is going on. Story of God, man. It's an incredible journey. It's a credible ride. It's an incredible story. It has no beginning. It will have no end. And it will never be forgotten. And He invites you. He invites me. I'd like you to be a part of it. I just want you to be a part. Part of my story. In Genesis chapter 1, back there, verse 5, the Bible says, after the first day, God said, let there be evening, and then there was morning the first day. If I asked you the question, hey, when's your day begin? You would all give me, you know, when you set your alarm clock for. My day begins at 6 o'clock. My day begins at 7:30. Hey, my day begins at 5:30. Some of you, my day begins at 4:30. God bless you. And you think, and I think, our day begins when we get up. But according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, I've never seen this before in all my life. I've been a Christian reading the Bible now for 16 years. Never seen this before in all my life. According to God, the day don't begin in the morning. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, look at your Bible carefully. When does the day begin? Come on, don't be shy. When's the day begin? In the evening. Day begins in the evening. You say, in the evening? They don't begin in the evening. I'm sleeping in the evening. That's the point. Bingo. When you can do nothing and you are oblivious to everything, guess what? God's fine. The world's fine. Everything goes on. The story of God goes on while you have nothing to do with it. When you wake up, you say, the day's starting. Oh, no. Day's already been going on. You just get to return to the program already in progress. Don't you hate that when you're watching your show and like some flash news event comes on, they say, now we've got to interrupt this program to bring to you the latest. I remember watching one year the National Basketball Championship. I mean, here's the championship, man. I'm into this thing, and all of a sudden, we got to bring you this late-breaking news. And I got to watch OJ come down the freeway. I'm thinking, no. It's the game. But then after they're done telling you what they want to tell you, then they always say, now returning to the program already in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, every morning you wake up, you just need to remember, you're returning to the program already in progress. It's the story of God. It continues on. With or without you, while you're sleeping, while you're awake, it goes on. And you can either be deceived and live for yourself, or you can understand life's not about you, it's about God, and you can find great meaning, great purpose, great significance in life. Can you imagine a movie without a soundtrack? Think of some of your favorite movies. My favorite movie of all time, I got it up in my office, big old picture, is Rocky. How many Rocky fans out there? I'm telling you. That means a lot to me. I'm telling you it does. I love Rocky. Can you imagine Rocky without music? Imagine the training scene, okay? They're training. Okay, he's getting ready to fight Apollo Creed, and Mickey's over there. I love you. You can do it. You know, suck it up. Imagine that without music. Without music, it's like, that's interesting. Yeah. One arm push-ups. Looks like he's struggling. Eating an egg. That don't sound healthy. Chasing a chicken. But now, you got the music in it. Dun dun da da dun da da dun 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 da da dun. You get out of your lazy boy. You get down there on the ground. You start doing push-ups with them. I think I need to start working out. This is a good thing. I mean, you're pumped up. You want to join in. Why? Because the soundtrack adds value and meaning to the movie. Hey, you know what? As a Christian, your life is the soundtrack. God's the main star. It's His story. It's His movie, if you will. Your life is the soundtrack that points all the attention and shows the greatness and the worth and makes much of the star of this story. So my question to you this morning is, how's your soundtrack? Is it playing anything? Or if you tried to change the station and play it for yourself to draw attention to yourself so that your puny, small, soon-to-be-forgotten story will be remembered just that much longer? Or do you live in the great freedom of understanding it ain't about me, it's about God. He's the one worthy. And my life's going to play loud and clear a song that's going to magnify the one who the story's about. Some of you this morning, you need to change stations. You need to start playing a different song. You need to be set free, not be deceived any longer, and think, you know what, this is my life, this is my story. You today, you've been brought face to face. This ain't your story, it's the story of God. And I'm going to make much of the star of this story. Your best days are yet ahead. Significance is in your reach. Purpose is tangible. So I challenge every one of you, don't give up. You're tempted to. The devil would like you to. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Because the story's not about you. And Jesus, He's worth it. I'll close with this. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right? If I had to go around and, you know, ask you, hey, what do you do? I'd say, you know, Steve, what do you do? You would say, for a living I'm a banker, correct? You bet. Mike, what do you do? You say, I am a minister of music. All right? You ask me, what do you do? I'm a football fan. No, I'm a preacher, you know. That's what I do. You know what the truth of the matter is? Don't matter what you do. Hear that loud and clear. Don't matter what you do. Just whatever you do. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or deed, just do it all, realizing it ain't about you, it's His story, and make your life amplify and magnify much God. I'm going to show you a clip. We're going to finish the morning with this. I'm going to show you a clip up here that we came across this week. I said, man, that's going to fit with the message, and it's going to hit home. When you're tempted to give up, don't give up. When you think you don't have any more, negotiate with your mind and heart. Remind yourself, I'm not just doing it for me. It's about Him. And He's worth it. I want your attention up here.
Tell me something, T-Con. Move it. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Go, Jonathan. Show me something. T-Con. Show me some power. No knees. Get your knees off the ground. Show me something. There you go. T-Con. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
Well, stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
A 50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. It's going to be good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. Good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Forget the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
Hey, man. Just rest in a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
But I have strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. You not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
Are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Give me more! Give me more! Keep going! 20 more steps! 20 more! Keep going! Give me your best! Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Rob Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! No, Rob Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! No, Rob! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Rob! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Rob! 2 more!
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Rock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Herb, can I count on you?
Yes.
Herb?
What is it, Jeremy?
Only 160.
Whatever you do, whether it be a banker, a minister of music, a preacher, a football player, a mom, a factory worker, whatever it is, give it all you got and do it for the right reason, the right purpose. It's His story. Make much of Jesus. Let's pray.